Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We're so glad to be with you during this WBAI Fun Drive. And we have prepared for you another very special premium. This time, it's a compilation of our programs on the pandemic, creating the next pandemic. You may remember that we had a very long series, Creating the Next Pandemic. It was six parts. And then a year later, we produced another couple of shows, and recently in April, as the supposed swine flu epidemic was reaching pandemic proportions across the world, supposedly, I say, the swine flu epidemic in Mexico and the resort to military rule was our program. Our premium for this taking aim for the WBAI Fund Drive, this short summer fund drive, is an MP3 compilation of 10 shows or more on creating the next pandemic. It includes how there are government programs, research programs here and in Canada particularly, that are transforming viruses, whether it's the Spanish flu influenza that swept throughout the world, millions, tens of millions of people died, or other manipulation of viruses such as the smallpox and still others with the H1N1, the current swine flu virus. We discuss SARS. We discuss so many things. We discuss the manipulation of Marburg virus and the experimentation that takes place in Africa. Ralph?
Well, indeed, we deal with the laboratories level 4 and level 5, such as the Plum Island Laboratory in Long Island, that have combined the genomes of viral agents to create variants that do not allow for an immune response. This is by design. This is a militarized weaponry, and the Plum Island apparatus with Marburg and with variants on pandemic disease are a clear and deliberate example of the militarization of altered viral genomes. Much of this, brothers and sisters, bears upon the current so-called swine flu pandemic. And you'll recall that in Taking Aim, we did a specific program documenting how the so-called swine flu has infected no pigs. It's a mutant. It has nothing to do with the so-called swine flu. It is a generated viral operation which has only a military genesis and has no root in any natural phenomenon, let alone one that affected pigs. Brothers and sisters, there's a host of recent data pertaining to the worldwide H1N1 swine flu pandemic. The World Health Organization is actually planning to vaccinate more than half the world's population. A lot of this data has been summarized by global research, taking upon itself some of the documentation that we had been programming on Taking Aim and adding to it, a useful compendium. The United States, according to the Associated Press, expects to have 160 million doses of swine flu vaccine available in October, a report on July 23, 2009. Vaccine makers can produce 4.9 billion pandemic flu shots per year, according to Margaret Chan, Director General of the World Health Organization, cited in Reuters on July 21st. Wealthier countries such as the U.S. and Britain will pay just under $10 per dose for the H1N1 flu vaccine. That's $400 billion for Big Pharma, reports Business Week on July 2009. The 2009 pandemic is supposedly originating in Mexico in April. As we've indicated, and as the series that you'll be receiving, brothers and sisters, documents, this is a fabrication. The epidemiological data is fabricated and falsified and manipulated. The World Health Organization represents that an epidemic of worldwide proportions looms and threatens the livelihood of, quote, 2 billion people who could become infected over the next 2 years, one-third of the world population. This is reported by the World Health Organization and Western media in July. The Obama administration states the swine flu will strike up to 40% of Americans and then several hundred thousand will die if a vaccine campaign and other measures aren't successful. This is a report, official statement of U.S. administration and the Associated Press on July 24th. This is a vast operation, brothers and sisters, and its intent has nothing to do with the reality of swine flu.
Because of the technology of the MP3 format, we can put on one CD over 10 hours of programming. Such intense research, such meticulous analysis, you know you don't find anywhere but here on Taking Aim. For your contribution of $60, this is our gift to you. I'm going to re-edit the programs. They were lively, they were intense when you first heard them, and now they will be even more so. Let's look at some of the programs that appeared in 2005. We had the original Creating the Next Pandemic, which discussed the SARS epidemic, the so-called SARS epidemic, and the work of the World Health Organization, and how researchers had dissected what was really happening at that time. We went on to talk about staging the operation, how pandemics are created. And then we unraveled the fabric of life. That is, we looked at the research that takes place in laboratories across the world to manipulate these viruses. We also discussed biowarfare with Part 5, Weapons of the Terror State. And in Part 6, the new Dr. Strangelove's Biological Armageddon. This is a topic that we return to often on Taking Aim. And in 2006, with Part 7, we had From Military Lab to Mass Infection and Profits and Repression. And here we are in April of 2008 with the swine flu epidemic in Mexico and the resort to military rule. As you know, we've also discussed biowarfare in relationship to Iraq, both with the vaccination programs and to the use of biowarfare to destroy populations. Please dial now 212-209-2950. Get on the phone. All our Taking Aim supporters, this is a show that we are compiling, a premium that we have compiled for you. Please. 212-209-2950. Today on Taking Aim, we're going to play two brief excerpts. The first excerpt is a section of Part 2 from Creating the Next Pandemic. And then later on, we're going to play a section from Part 4, which was Unraveling the Fabric of Life. But please, meanwhile, get on the phone, 212-209-2950. Ralph, one last word before we go to the segment.
Right. Well, I want to just emphasize that one of the aspects of this contrived series of epidemics and militarized weaponry is the role it plays in preparing for the martial law of suppression of the population at a time of economic crisis in the capitalist order. The pandemic serves the interests, as Michelle Krasadovsky points out very succinctly, of Big Pharma. Big Pharma includes Baxter, GlaxoSmithKline, Novartis, Sanofi, Aventis, and AstraZeneca, and they've signed procurement contracts with 50 governments, according to Reuters, on July 16th. I'm only going to mention for this moment, brothers and sisters, that Michelle Krasadovsky joins us in warning that the Pentagon, quote, will establish regional teams of military personnel to assist civilian authorities in the event of a significant outbreak of the N1 virus this fall, according to Defense Department officials. This is a report in CNN. The proposal is waning final approval from the Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Northern Command's General Victor Renault is reputed to be the person who will be heading it up. He has not yet been formally approved by Gates. The plan calls for military task forces to work in conjunction with FEMA. The civilian authorities will be essentially coordinating with the military. They will be, in essence, really being run by the Northern Command. G- Gates is being asked to sign an execution order that will authorize the military to conduct detailed plans to execute this operation. And the orders to deploy actual forces are under imminent review, according to the reports in CNN and Reuters for July 2009. The implications of this, needless to say, are far-reaching. The militarization of civilian institutions regarding law enforcement, public health, imposed vaccination,
immunization?
No. When you put people in confinement.
Oh, quarantine.
Quarantine, excuse me. So, brothers and sisters, that's the gravamen of what we've been documenting here. The 160 million vaccine doses are, of course, a profit boon for the pharmaceutical companies. The deployment of militarized genomes to create a reign of terror on the population service a system in terminal decay. There's an unalterable link between the contrivance of these pandemics and the agenda of suppressing the population, which is prepared to resist in many ways, working class, trade unions, the immiseration, the loss of jobs, the loss of health care, the loss of homes, the crisis that is afflicting capital today. That's the overall arching political reality of the pandemic that is undertaken by capital at this moment in time.
Michael, let's go to the excerpt of Creating the Next Pandemic, a series of programs on one CD in the MP3 format, whether it's SARS or the H1N1 and other bioweapons. Michael?
The U.S. has been a major promoter of bioterrorism research, creating all these bioterrorism mechanisms, these viruses, the diseases, and as we have documented, using these agents throughout the world in Afghanistan and in Iraq. In 1982, Jonathan King, a molecular biologist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, was one of the first people to address the issue of genetic engineering and the military. And Leonard Cole speaks of this in his excellent book, Clouds of Secrecy, to which Ralph refers. At a symposium at the American Association for the Advancement of Science, he produced an article called The Threat of Biological Weapons. And he spoke of the use of anthrax in Sverdlovsk in 1979 and the yellow rain that was being used in Afghanistan and Southeast Asia. What was noted by King is that the U.S. Army incorporated already recombinant DNA research into its program. In 1980, the Army was bold enough to advertise in Science magazine for proposals, quote, on the introduction of recombinant DNA methods for the human nervous system gene of acetylcholinesterase from human neuroblastoma cells into a bacterium. The purpose of the research is to obtain a microorganism that synthesizes the human enzyme so that it can be isolated for biochemical, neurochemical, and pharmacological purposes. Proposals were sent to none other than the U.S. Army Research and Development Command, that's the U.S. AMRID, at Fort Detrick, Maryland.
Leonard Cole is the author of Clouds of Secrecy, The Army's Germ Warfare Tests Over Populated Areas. He is professor of political science and public policy at Rutgers University, and he has documented for 40 years the use of biological agents on the civilian population of the United States in over 318 sites across the United States, as the New York Times has affirmed, the subway system of New York, the school systems of Minneapolis and St. Louis. I think it's important for us to emphasize that Leonard Cole documents that the tens of millions of Americans affected in the United States by the biological and bacteriological and germ warfare program of the United States government and Department of Defense over a period of 40 years have been continuous. It is a little extension to apply this to the world, and any pandemic of which they speak is of their own creation. Let that be clear. In the Bay Area, after the introduction of trillions of bacilli involving spinal and brain meningitis, there was a tenfold increase in brain and spinal meningitis in the Bay Area. And over 10 million Americans were affected across the United States by the bacilli, trillions of spores that were released by the U.S. Department of Defense. And indeed, Leonard Cole had a follow-up book called The 11th Plague, The Politics of Biological and Chemical Warfare. And in The 11th Plague, he documents that, in fact, the mutating of viral forms is part of a continuing biowarfare program of the United States authorities. The 11th plague is a prediction and a projection of precisely the pandemic that is under discussion as we speak.
You spoke before about the mousepox that had been created. It was genetically modified mousepox virus that created a highly virulent strain that could not be stopped by vaccination. And this was done 4 years ago by scientists in Australia. January 22, 2005, a few months ago, an article that appeared in The Independent in Great Britain, outcry over the creation of a genetically modified smallpox virus. Senior scientific advisors to the World Health Organization recommended the creation of a genetically modified version of smallpox, and they said it was to counter any threat of a bioterrorist attack. Remember that when they were genetically modifying the mousepox virus, what was created, in fact, was a highly virulent strain, as I mentioned before, that couldn't be stopped by vaccination. And here we have the World Health Organization, which is telling the scientists to go do this very same thing with the smallpox virus. Professor Donald Henderson of the Center for Biosecurity at the University of Pittsburgh, who is one of the foremost scientists who worked on smallpox, said he feared that tinkering with the genetic makeup of the variola virus, which causes smallpox, might produce a more lethal form of the disease. What we have to note is that with the World Health Organization and the work that goes on by the armed forces in the United States, that it wouldn't be inadvertent that the genetic modification of the variola virus, that it would be intentional to create a more virulent form of smallpox, so that the hundreds of millions of doses of smallpox vaccine that is still in storage, even though smallpox has been eradicated, all these vaccines would be useless should a genetically modified version of smallpox be created in a laboratory. Now, if the World Health Organization is recommending the creation of this version of variola, we must anticipate that it is already being done in the Defense Department laboratories.
Yes, well, the work of Leonard Cole, both in Clouds of Secrecy and 11th Plague, is absolutely explicit about this. The U.S. Army, he states, has incorporated recombinant DNA work into its program. By recombinant DNA methods of the human nervous system gene of acetylcholinesterase from human neuroblastoma cells into bacteria, they are obtaining microorganisms which synthesize the human enzyme so they may be isolated for biochemical, neurochemical, and pharmacological work. This is under the U.S. Army Research and Development Command at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and they demonstrate that the biological warfare program includes the manufacturing of the enzyme acetylcholinesterase, essential to the transmission of nerve impulses and nerve gases. The recombinant DNA is prepared for other toxin research, creating toxins through genetic engineering technology and introducing the gene for pneumococcus toxins into E. coli. This is the kind of experimentation that is inducing an expanded program for recombinant DNA work. This is for military purposes. It has been done years ago. It has nothing to do with defense. And in fact, as he describes this, he states, quoting Sheldon Krimsky, a social scientist at Tufts University, "There are no assurances that this rDNA technology is not being used by the Department of Defense to produce new biological weapons. There is no distinction between offensive and defensive biological weapons. It doesn't make any sense to speak about defensive biological weapons. They are always offensive."
Now, this was noted by 700 scientists in the United States. Not every scientist is going along with this game plan. And it included two Nobel laureates. The New York Times reported March 1st of this year that 700 scientists signed a petition against the United States government's emphasis on so-called biodefense, with $1.5 billion being spent on this research on so-called bioterrorist threats. The scientists say that money is being funneled away from research on common diseases. And let's look at the shifts that are taking place. Diseases such as tuberculosis and syphilis should be studied still, according to the scientists. And this is a very important petition and one that should be recognized by activists throughout the country. Because what you see with the shifting of the millions of dollars in federal research money, it's away from the pathogens that cause major public health problems to what the scientists call obscure germs. But in fact, these are not obscure germs. These are creating virulent forms of viruses and other germ diseases that could create mass pandemics and attacks against peoples of the world.
The 11th plague is very explicit here. The biological warfare programs during the 1950s and 1960s that sprayed much of the United States with bacteria and chemical materials were rehearsals for even more lethal agents and created risks and illness for millions of citizens of the United States who were exposed unwittingly to the Army's agents. And current U.S. biological and chemical activities have been thereby shadowed by the earlier program imposed on the United States citizenry without their knowledge and with devastating effect. The public, he states, has reason to worry not only about the biological and chemical weapons in other parts of the world, but the programs at home develop them and use them. And he states the Chemical Weapons Convention, failure of the United States Senate to act to in any way slow this momentum is related to the fact that these programs are being carried out by the United States government, both at home and abroad. In fact, we have here now a particular report on bird flu SARS, biowarfare weapon of a pandemic. This is a report by Sepp Hasselberger on March 2, 2005. Are we being stampeded into a pandemic? The announcement made by Dr. Nancy Cox of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control that a global epidemic of bird flu will dwarf history's worst infection disaster, which killed 40 to 50 million people. In fact, Hasselberger reports, these are programs that are being developed at the Centers for Disease Control at government laboratories in the United States, where the recombinant DNA and the viral agents are being mutated precisely to create the very condition of which they are warning. Right now, he states, 50 people representing drug companies, governments, and vaccine licensing agents are meeting in Geneva in a closed-door session to discuss the coming flu pandemic. The World Health Organization is stating there will not be enough vaccine to go around. They say, quote, production capacity for the pandemic's vaccine will be vastly inadequate. Unless other companies engage in vaccine seed development, in the event of the pandemic, vaccine will be in short supply and will be unequally distributed. So what they are preparing us for is a panic, a pandemic, a vaccine that will create quarantine, profiteering, and control while economic and political objectives are imposed under the aegis of martial rule.
You've been listening to a very small segment from the second show in Creating the Next Pandemic. It's a series that we started in 2005, and in fact, we even had shows before then on SARS and bioweapons and on anthrax. We've been doing these programs on bioweapons and pandemics since we started taking AIM at the end of 2001. And today on Taking AIM, we are offering as our gift to you a compilation of many of these shows, particularly those in the series Creating the Next Pandemic. It's on an MP3, in the MP3 format, and we can then compress it onto one CD. And it's for your donation, your gift to yourself, to WBAI, to keep WBAI on the air, to keep Taking AIM coming to you via the internet, via your radio, whichever format you listen to Taking AIM each and every week. $60 donation. I heard one person get on the line. It's 212-209-2950. Ralph and I are coming to you from California. We can't see the boards. Michael will pitch in and let us know how we're doing with the phones. But meanwhile, get on your phone and dial 212-209-2950. For those of you who are calling out of state, remember that with the new phone systems, whether it's your cell phone or the other phone plans, it's not a long-distance call anymore. Please dial 212-209-2950. Help sustain Taking AIM and WBAI. Ralph?
These reports that we have encoded in these programs, brothers and sisters, have immediate bearing on today's news and today's headlines. July 27, 2009, government swine flu advisor on vaccine maker payroll. Professor Sir Roy Anderson sits on the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, a 20-strong task force drawing up the action plan for the virus. He holds a 116-pound sterling year post on the board of GlaxoSmithKline, the vaccine producer, reports the Daily News. Anderson was one of the first experts to call outbreaks pandemics and has been pushing the effectiveness of these antiviral agents to fight swine flu without acknowledging that he is on the payroll. The shots include the ingredient squalene, which is directly linked with cases of Gulf War syndrome. And according to the investigative journalist Gary Matsumoto, which has been amplified by an important article by Paul Joseph Watson, there's a close match between the squalene-induced diseases in animals and those observed in humans injected with this oil. Rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and symptom lupus erythematosus. Brothers and sisters, squalene, which is directly related to the Gulf War syndrome, from which hundreds of thousands of U.S. veterans have suffered, including arthritis, fibromyalgia, lymphadenopathy, rashes, photosensitive rashes, malar rashes, chronic fatigue, chronic headaches, abnormal body hair loss, non-healing skin lesions, aphthous ulcers, dizziness, weakness, memory loss, seizures, neuropsychiatric problems, antithyroid effects, anemia, it goes on and on, brothers and sisters. This is a thoroughly documented demonstration of the role of this capitalist regime in fomenting epidemics that are of their own creation for the purpose of subjecting this population, our population, to control and to military rule.
212-209-2950 helps sustain WBAI, which brings Taking AIM to you. Remember, this is the station across the entire New York region, across the entire country, on which Taking AIM is broadcast. And as a result of our broadcast on Taking AIM, we're able to create our archive. We'll be able to be with you since 2001. Our eighth year broadcasting, now is your opportunity to have this incredible compilation of programs newly edited on one CD. MP3 format, you can download it to your iPod, you can download it to your computer, you can listen and listen and learn. I'd like at this moment, Ralph, to talk a bit about what distinguishes Taking AIM from other programs in the fact of our analysis and our the legacy of our involvement in the movements of the day, and also the incredible meticulous research that we do each and every week to... Hello?
Yes. Well, Maya, I want to emphasize that the analysis and the research and the cutting-edge documentation of data that is often suppressed involves placing it in a political context. We are not talking about shape-shifting reptiles, brothers and sisters. We're not talking about dark masons or gilded families. We're discussing the nature of capitalism, the structure of rule in our society, where 1% own more than 90% of the rest of us combined. We're talking about a system in terminal decay that in order to preserve the rule of this oligarchy, this capitalist ruling class, in the presence of its manifest inability to answer the elementary needs of millions, if not billions, of people across the world, resorts to repression, resorts to mass manipulation, resorts to terrorizing the population with mantras such as the so-called terror war of 9/11 to prepare us to accept the heavy hand of military rule. Those are the underlying dynamics. That's the systemic content of this information, brothers and sisters.
And go so far to experiment with viruses such as smallpox and viruses such as the mousepox virus, which can get out of the labs, get out of hand, and intentionally use these viruses as a weapon against people. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about the development of ethnically specific weaponry that is also being developed. Please get on the phone, 212-209-2950. It's amazing when you have these shows all together, the how they all fit in, how they create a library, more than a library. It's as if you're getting a 1,000-page book all compressed into this one CD. Please, 212-209-2950. This is only one specific aspect of the work that we do on Taking AIM, whether we investigate and discuss 9/11 or we take apart the ramifications of the financial collapse, or we analyze what's taking place in any avenue, any country throughout the world. Here is the place you can come to each and every week, 212-209-2950. Ralph?
The great Spanish flu epidemic, the so-called Spanish flu that cost between 40 and 50 million lives at World War I, brothers and sisters, they have taken that viral agent, they've reconstructed, they've dug up bodies, they've taken the DNA, and they've reconstructed the genome of that viral agent that caused this mass murder of 40 to 50 million people, and they've created a variant of it in U.S. government and militarized labs that has no acknowledged immune response.
And Ralph, we detail how that was done in these programs.
And here we have, brothers and sisters, August 3rd, the London Times report, children reporting a range of side effects, but official advice is that Tamiflu is safe. Over half the children taking the swine flu drug Tamiflu are experiencing nausea and nightmares, the Times article reports. 150,000 people with flu symptoms were prescribed the drug, and scores of children report these symptoms. The H1N1 virus, which is supposedly the genesis of this so-called pandemic, has been responded to by an official program of imposing vaccines. The profiteering aside, the side effects are manifold, a replication of what we have described with respect to the squalene and the Gulf War syndrome.
Oh, and remember that Donald Rumsfeld benefited from the production of Tamiflu. The company that developed Tamiflu gets a royalty for each of the doses that is produced, and it was Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, yes, it was his company, Gilead. Gilead, and he made something like a 500% profit by holding onto the stock while he was with the Bush administration. As you are familiar, brothers and sisters, with the old Negro spiritual, there is a bomb in Gilead to heal the sin sick soul. Rumsfeld has taken that old spiritual and applied it to his pocket, his murderous pocket, and that articulates and synthesizes the nature of this pandemic and the character of the system that has engendered it and the repression that is the handmaiden to it, brothers and sisters.
I'd like to mention at this point that you're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial and on the Internet. Oh, by the way, it's WBAI New York. And on the Internet at www.wbai.org, this is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. And this is the WBAI Summer Fun Drive. It's on for 2 weeks only. And during these 2 weeks, you have an opportunity to contribute to sustain your station, WBAI, listener-sponsored. That means all the funding is coming from you, the listeners. So here we have Taking Aim, and what we've done for you is I'm preparing a compilation of the Creating the Next Pandemic shows, and even more. These shows span several years. I'm re-editing them, and they'll be put together on this MP3 format CD for your generous contribution of $60. Please get on the line, 212-209-2950. Michael, let's go to the next excerpt.
This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, April 5th, 2005. Friday, April 1st, President George Bush signed an executive order authorizing the government to impose a quarantine to deal with any outbreak of the H5N1 avian flu influenza now found in Southeast Asia. The quarantine list amends that of 2003, which was amended at that time to include SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, that killed nearly 800 people. Other diseases on the U.S. quarantine list are cholera, diphtheria, infectious tuberculosis, plague, smallpox, yellow fever, and viral hemorrhagic fevers. What does this mean? It means that anyone coming into the United States can be quarantined, put in a voluntary quarantine at a home or in some other location. It also means that with a quarantine list, the United States government can impose a quarantine on people throughout the United States, as it did at the time of the 1918 Spanish flu influenza. Today on Taking Aim, Creating the Next Pandemic, Part 4, Unraveling the Fabric of Life. Ralph?
In the declaration by Bush on April 1st, April Fool's Day, Jennifer Marcone, the spokeswoman for the health center, said Mr. Bush's executive order will prepare for all options, and the Public Health Service will defer to state and local authorities for their use of full quarantine powers and will work with them in the event of an outbreak. They are alluding to S3, the emergency legislation, amongst others, that allows for virtual martial law in the quarantining of populations, the ordering of them to various locations, the isolation of whole sectors of the populace, the control of all movement, traffic, communication, a martial law state.
In Creating the Next Pandemic, Parts 1, 2, and 3, we discuss the manipulation, the creation of viruses, both the avian flu virus, particularly H5N1, and also the Marburg and Ebola viruses, hemorrhagic fevers. Also, at this time, late March, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched a series of what scientists are calling risky experiments, what we call insidious experiments, to simulate the mixing and matching of genes from the H5N1 avian flu virus, which is a virus that could create, in the words of Janet Gerberding, the head of the Center for Disease Control, a pandemic throughout the world within the next 10 months. They are mixing this H5N1 avian flu virus with the common human flu virus, and they expect that this could create the basis for an avian flu pandemic. What are they actually doing? The flu experts have stated that the CDC intends over the next 6 months to swap the genes of the H5N1 avian virus with the genes of H3N2 virus. Now, H and N refer to the proteins within the virus. The H3N2 virus is the strain that is behind the most recent human flu outbreaks. They will substitute the 8 genes of each virus one by one with the 8 genes from the other virus. And in that process, they're going to examine all the 250 possible combinations that would create viable viruses. They'll incubate these viruses in canine, that is dog tissue cells, to see how well they grow. And those that thrive in the tissue culture will then be tested on animals. They're going to see how quickly they will spread. Experiments are planned not only in the United States, but at Erasmus University, which is another major influenza research center in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. As you will recall, we mentioned that in the Netherlands, experimentation on the H5N1 virus showed cats as carriers. Ralph?
Headline of the Wall Street Journal on March 23rd. CDC aims to create experimental pandemic bird flu virus by Betsy McKay. In other words, the superbug that they are presumably concerned to avoid is precisely what they are engaged in engineering. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention is figuring out, before nature takes its course, how to forge and fabricate the very virus itself. Experiments are planned for later this year at Erasmus University, a major influenza research center in the Netherlands. The experiments will produce a highly lethal pathogen capable of killing millions of people. Now, H5N1 has ravaged poultry stocks across Asia, but since the beginning of 2004, it has infected people. And it is that combination that has proved fatal in nearly 70% of the time, with the virus suffocating patients as their inflamed lungs fill with fluid, as the Wall Street Journal reports. It is that combination which they are replicating, creating, experimenting with on a crash basis. Quote, not only are the experiments revealing the likelihood that H5N1 can morph into a human bug, but they are providing a basis for bird disease becoming lethal in humans and other mammals. The biologists are stating that the experiments are not necessary, that they know already that viruses can reassort and be pathogenic, said Klaus Storr. But nonetheless, the U.S. government is developing a preparedness program, so-called, that calls for the very creation of the lethal superflu, crossing the two viruses that could be deployed and engendering the severe acute respiratory syndrome of SARS on a scale that has never been seen before.
Viruses are changing all the time. Right now, the H5N1 virus, which produces high fever, excruciating muscle and joint pain, severe viral pneumonia, and as Ralph mentioned, is fatal so far 70% of the time, with the virus suffocating patients as their inflamed lungs fill with fluid. 140 million birds, domestic fowl, have been destroyed already. What's important to note about the H5N1 virus is that so far it has been primarily restricted to poultry farms and people who handle the birds. But what happens when you reassort in the laboratory is you are creating the condition for spreading this throughout the population. It becomes a bioweapon that can be spread as the common flu quickly. This would mean that the genes that so far limit the virus to the animals would combine with the human flu virus and create a new virus that spreads quickly. Ralph?
Well, it's very clear from the report in the Wall Street Journal what exactly it is that they are doing. These are experiments that are carried out with the following conditions: full moon suits. The scientists are replacing street clothes with scrubs gowns, multi-layers of gloves, face shields, and respirators that have their own air supply. Because what they are doing is engendering lethal viruses that pose such a danger that if in any respect they are made accessible to or impact or infect or reach the workers in the labs, they will not survive. We are not talking about vaccines. We are not talking about antidotes. We are talking about the very causative pandemic combination that it is the putative goal of these laboratory experiments to prevent. But what in fact they are doing is creating the viruses themselves.
Today we are going to focus on an incredible report produced by the Sunshine Project, November 2003. And advances have been made in laboratories across the United States and internationally that have shown that what the Sunshine Project is speaking about in this important article, advances brought these incredible pandemic possible viruses out of the lab and into the bioweapons sphere. The Sunshine Project is on the internet at www.sunshine-project.org. And the name of this report is Emerging Technologies, Genetic Engineering, and Biological Weapons. In it, they elaborate on how new types of biological and biochemical weapons can and are being created in laboratories throughout the United States, in universities, but in federal laboratories, and in private industries, all funded with our tax dollars. Material degrading microorganisms and psychoactive chemicals. There are the manipulation of food crops as tools of biological warfare, and ethnically specific weapons, which hitherto had been thought to be impossible. But, as the Sunshine Project shows, this has become a real possibility for biological and biochemical weapons. Ralph?
It's not a question here of even possibility or probability. They are devising and creating the ethnically specific weapons. They've isolated those particular genomes that are specific to ethnic groupings, and it is those that they are building into a virus-specific and attack modality. The report by the Sunshine Project states, what we present here may sound like science fiction. In fact, it is more science than fiction. It is already a reality. The most frightening developments are being witnessed in the United States, where the new technology is exploited to create new types of biological and biochemical weapons, including material degrading microorganisms and psychoactive chemicals, as you state, and genetic engineering is being deployed to offensive bioweapons programs, with the genetic manipulation of biowarfare agents such as anthrax or plague rendered into more efficient weapons. Barriers to such agents as smallpox, Ebola, and the Spanish flu are being eradicated by genetic and genomic techniques. This is exactly a program not just for weaponizing these pandemic viruses, but for preparing them for active dissemination. The new types of weapons, as you indicate, include the use of food crops as tools for biological warfare, impacting the seeds and the food supply itself at the crop level, such that the food that is grown and the food that is distributed will carry in it the very deadly viruses which will create an unstoppable pandemic. They are not working on methods of stopping such a thing. They are devising the mechanisms for implementing and for disseminating precisely such extraordinary, devastating unraveling of the fabric of life weaponry.
You've been listening to Creating the Next Pandemic. We've played two excerpts, a portion from Part 2 and a portion from Part 4. There were 8 episodes in the Creating the Next Pandemic series, and there were many other shows that we will also include on the subject on this MP3 formatted CD for your donation of $60 to WBAI. Please call 212-209-2950. We only have a few minutes more that we're on the air. We'll be on again next Tuesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. East Coast time, and that'll be your last opportunity. Please, do it now. Show your support. Demonstrate how you feel about taking AIM and what this means to you, what this research means to you, the effort that we put into it, and how much you're going to learn. This is something that you want to share with your friends, your family, your colleagues. Remember, this is not a spectator sport. It's important to have a deep understanding about this material so that we can be effective organizers, so we can transform our lives and have a world in which is in our benefit. Ralph, to our benefit.
Yes. Look, brothers and sisters, over the many years, we have addressed these issues with respect to martial law, the militarization of governance in the United States, the role of Rex 84 and the Northern Command, the readiness exercises of 1984, the FEMA and 34 other federal agency operations that were put into effect. We've documented that with respect to the anticipated terror attacks, which we know are contrived by the authorities themselves. There's a constancy here. Whether it is the contrivance of 9/11 or the prior contrivances that have rationalized every imperial adventure in the history of the United States, or whether it is the response to a civil emergency induced by a biological attack in the form of an epidemic, it comes under a master military contingency plan, of which there have been so many in every administration. Operation Garden Plot, Rex 84, going back to Oliver North, Night Train 84, the Continental U.S. Forces, or CONUS, based on multi-emergency scenarios operating abroad and at home, combined exercises of Rex 84, Bravo, and FEMA and the Department of Defense, including the CIA, the Secret Service, the Treasury, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Veterans Administration, gaming exercises to test military assistance. All of this is the architecture of the fascist state, and the pandemic scenario is an integral component and part of it.
Well, Ralph, let's be clear that the fascist state occurs with the degeneration of capitalism, and in order to keep the workers from organizing and in their own interests, they resort to fascist measures.
Well, they attempt to impose them, actually, brothers and sisters, at a moment when they can't rule any other way. When the population is aroused, when mass operations, mass strikes are occurring, when workers start to resist in a coordinated way, that's when these contingency plans are put into effect. But as we are aware, the crisis of capitalism at this moment, we've documented in our last program, brothers and sisters, some $23.7 trillion, according to Neil Barofsky, who administrator and the inspector general of TARP, handed to the banks. Well, there is no stock market bubble that can survive deficit financing of this magnitude. There is no way out for a capitalist system that is dependent upon fictive capital, deficit financed everything, destroying the infrastructure of the society for the speculators. The pandemic is the answer to crisis, or the attempted answer to crisis. So we have to look at this within the understanding that this is the resort of a system that is decaying and is reaching its end game. there is something positive in that, although it may seem bizarre to see something positive in this nightmare scenario that we've been describing. But the realities are that a people capable of resisting can overcome anything. And it takes acquiescence of the mass of our population in these devious and terrible plans for them to be effective and to succeed.
And, Ralph, also it takes the illusions and misleaders such as Barack Obama, who came forward with the mantra of change but is the agent of the financial ruling class. Please get on the phone, 212-209-2950. Join Ralph and me in the support of WBAI, your listener-sponsored radio station that brings you Taking Aim each and every week. Please, 212-209-2950. I want to thank Michael G. Haskins, our engineer, and Mark Bilk, our webmaster who maintains the Taking Aim archive. We'll be with you next week. 212-209-2950. Creating the next pandemic.
Thank you very much, Maya Schoen and Ralph Schoenman, for the program Taking Aim, Creating the Next Pandemic. There's still a few minutes left before we have to go to the evening news. The number to call is 212-209-2950. If you are waiting for the program to end, you didn't want to miss any of the information that Ralph and Maya bring to you on Tuesdays at 5 o'clock.